Well, good morning, everyone. It's Pastor Jeremiah here. Just want to welcome you to our online service this morning. Thanks for tuning in and joining with us as we start off a new year with a theme that we return to again and again and again here at Westside Church, the idea of what it means to live like Jesus. We exist as a church because the world needs people who live like Jesus, and so we want to explore that theme a little bit closer this week. Before I begin, there's a number of new things that we have going on here at the church. You want to make sure that you get to the website or the church app, and you can find all the information about we have marriage class coming up. We have a newcomers gathering as well. And don't forget to join us, if you haven't already, for our Living Word Challenge, which started the beginning of January. It's not too late to jump in. It's a 31-day challenge, or if you're just hearing about it now, a little bit less than that. But it's a Living Word Challenge to read the scriptures daily, just a small portion of scripture, to reflect on that and to journal about it. Something we're doing together, super excited about. It's a great way to kind of get this year started off in the right way by really having a practice of reading the Word of God and being transformed by it as a result. And so please consider joining us for the Living Word Challenge. All the information for that is available on the website. You can get signed up to have our texts sent to you a couple times a week, just sending encouraging text reminders of how to get involved in that and how to find the ways to get the best out of it. So that's the Living Word Challenge. All right, well, today, as I mentioned, I want to teach a message for you that is close to my heart, something that's very important for our church, and that is this idea of what it means to live our lives like Jesus did. How do we accomplish that? What kind of a life that reflects living like Jesus, what does that look like for us? And so we're going to explore some of those things today. I want to take you to a passage from Acts chapter 4, read a kind of a lengthy passage here to really set the tone for what it is I want to talk about today. Starts in Acts 4, and it's a story of Peter and John being arrested and taken into custody for the temple priests, before the temple priests. It says, "The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead." Now, they had had Jesus crucified. They believed that the problem was through with, but the disciples were proclaiming something incredible to all of them, that Jesus had resurrected. And so they seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. "By what power or what name did you do this?" So they had just healed a blind man at the temple gate, and they're questioning them on how that miracle was performed. And oftentimes there were certain influential leaders said to have committed miracles. Oftentimes there were disciples of those incredible leaders who could perform exorcisms, in the name of that particular individual. And so this is somewhat of a common practice, enough for them to ask the question, "Hey, whose name did you do that in?" And so they're questioning Peter and John on this. And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness showed to a man who was lame," sorry, he was lame, not blind, as I've mentioned before, "and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." And when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Jesus apparently had rubbed off on them as somebody who had courage and boldness in his own right. Now, I've noticed something throughout the course of my life personally, and I've noticed something in other people too, that being with certain people, being around certain people, can bring out some unique qualities in us. I was thinking of one such instance for me was an old high school friend that I have. His name is Dave Hoyt. He's about 300 pounds. He's a football offensive lineman for the University of Montana at the time we were friends. And he's this larger-than-life personality, filled with joy. An amazing, joyful, incredible person. And I spent a great deal of time with David my junior and senior year into my first year of college. And it was some of the best years of my life because they were filled with joy because I was always around Dave. And one of my highlights, memories is just driving around. We had a couple of summers that we spent in Coeur d'Alene just having the time of our lives, just really not a lot of responsibilities. Just our job was just to have fun. And we did. And we would just drive around, hanging out with friends, going to the lake, doing all sorts of great things. And everywhere we would go, driving around in his car, we would sing songs all the time. I mean, we had the radio on, the classic rock station, and we would sing, you know, all the hits from every single band that you could think of. And we would sing at the top of our lungs, windows down. I mean, just the, you know, the classic kind of teenage vibe. That was us. And it was so much fun, right? Just to just sing at the top of our lungs, windows down. It was one of those moments that you look back on and you think, wow, I mean, that was such a unique period of time in my life. And of course, it's characterized by me being around Dave. Now, some of you know that I sing songs to this day. I'm a musical person. I really enjoy music. But it was Dave that brought a lot of that out in me. And when I'm around him, it spontaneously just comes back to me, right? Those same feelings, emotions, behaviors. Because being around people, people rub off on you. People have an influence on you. There's something about people, their unique qualities, their essence, who they are. It shapes and changes and molds and causes us to reflect some of their behavior. And in so many ways, people can bring out the best in us. They can also bring out the worst in us, but in so many ways, let's focus on the best. And being with Jesus, you can imagine the impact that that would make. That's a whole nother level, right? With Jesus, we recognize his spirit resides inside of us. When we are choosing to be with him, our entire lives are transformed as a result of that experience. Now, the Jewish leaders were astonished by the boldness of Peter and John. They weren't impressed with their backgrounds. They didn't have an impressive background. They realized something about this situation. They had been with Jesus. They concluded this: these guys don't have the education to speak so eloquently. They don't have the credentials, right? They're fishermen, they're blue-collar workers. They didn't have religious training in their background. They were astonished that Jesus even offered to have them follow him in the first place. So they had no formal training. It was in the spirit-filled boldness that was born out of knowing Jesus and walking with Jesus. Even though they were unlearned, they were articulate because they were clear-minded in their convictions. Even though they had no credentials, they were bold. They refused to back down. They had seen the risen Christ. They had a conviction. They would not be turned away. They would not be quieted. You see, being with Jesus can bring certain things out of us that we never knew were in us in the first place. But notice the text says that they were with Jesus, not just around Jesus, not just associated on the surface level with Jesus. Many came There were many people who came to see the miracles that Jesus performed, maybe receive a free lunch, or to hear the teachings that he gave that many people marveled at. But only the truly committed were really with Jesus and reflected that in their lives. Are you really with Jesus is the question that I want to ask you today. So we have to recognize that being with Jesus is what we are after. Not around, but with. And so this leads to an important observation. Is it possible to be around Jesus? And in my life, am I around Jesus, associated with Jesus, an acquaintance of Jesus? Or am I really with Jesus? Because there's a difference between being around Jesus and being with him. There's a difference between being around other Christians and being with Jesus. There's a difference between being spiritual, saying all the right things, and being with Jesus. And so we have this saying that's the heartbeat of our church. We exist because the world needs people who live like Jesus. And this assumes a problem. The problem with the world today is that people don't live like Jesus. They might have a lot of words that sound like they live like Jesus, and they might have even some beliefs that reflect the fact that they believe in Jesus. But the problem in our world today, especially for Christians, is that we don't live like Jesus. And as Christians, when our lives don't reflect the presence of Jesus in us, we are sowing doubt and confusion in the world about who he really is. We have to get this right. It is job number one for those of us who call ourselves Christians to understand what it means to live like Jesus and to model it for the world. So how do we determine if we are really those who are with Jesus rather than just being around Jesus or acquaintances of Jesus? What are the marks of someone who has been with Jesus is a good question that we can ask. And we can do some self-assessment. Are we with Jesus? Are we in a situation in our life where our lives are reflecting his influence in us through our words, through our actions, through our deeds? So do you see these things in your life? Let's go through some of the things that were things that were observed about Peter and John in this moment that caused Annas and the rest of the temple leaders and rulers to recognize that they had been with Jesus. First of all, it says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. It says Peter and John were filled with the Holy Spirit, which meant because wherever the Holy Spirit is, the fruits of the Spirit come with. The gifts of the Spirit come pouring out of you. Your life becomes an overflow of the Spirit of God. These men, Peter and John, were untrained. They were uneducated. They were simple men, and yet they're speaking profoundly and boldly under the influence, it says, of the Holy Spirit. I love the way that Jesus describes the kind of life that he offers to all of humanity. He does so in an interaction he has with a woman at the well, who's a Samaritan woman. He's interacting with her, which is an interesting thing in and of itself, but he describes they're having a conversation about drawing water and drinking in order to satisfy a thirst. And Jesus quickly turns the conversation and turns it into not just a physical thirst, but a spiritual thirst and longing, and says, you know, the kind of water that I can offer you is a water from a well that never runs dry. That it's a thirst that you will never thirst again, right? It's a living water, an overflowing water. And she, of course, tells him, well, show me where I can get, you know, this kind of water. And it's interesting that when Jesus describes what it's like to be filled with an overflowing power of the Holy Spirit, that he is in many ways demonstrating what a life like that looks like. Because he's just casually sitting by a well, waiting there for the disciples to return to bring him something to eat. And this woman comes along. And he takes this opportunity, an everyday, ordinary kind of opportunity, to speak with her about the things of God. Not to have a casual, hey, how are you? How's it going? You know, how's your family? How's your health? No, he digs right in. He knows the longings of her heart. He speaks to those things. He really draws these things out of her. He leads her to a deeper relationship with God. He's on call. He's in the moment. He's in the zone. He's aware of how God wants to use him in every single moment of his life. That's what it looks like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is often something that we over-sensationalize, I think, in our common understanding of it. It's merely the result of being with Jesus. You know, the overflow of the Spirit happens as we are simply with Jesus, intentionally pursuing a relationship with Jesus through prayer, reading the scriptures, things that we know that we ought to be doing, things that we constantly battle with all the time, taking actions that promote faith and love and hope. These things will lead you to have an overflow of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's interesting because following this event where Peter and John are before the religious leaders, they were filled with the Holy Spirit at a gathering with other believers. And then after this event, where it says that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, there's another experience in Acts 2 where the Spirit fills them yet again. And so there's this constant filling and refilling of the Holy Spirit that happens to cause them to overflow with the Spirit of God. And Paul challenges us. He says, keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a keep on. It's a continual. It's a never stop pursuing this and allow yourself to be filled with the brim with the living water, so that all that you have to do is draw it out when the moment is needed. That's what it looks like to be with Jesus, is being a person who overflows with the Spirit of God, is filled with the Spirit of God. Are you filled with God's Spirit? Are you demonstrating your life and your actions? Are you feeling the overflow of the Spirit of God in your life? It's time to assess, how do I access that? How can I gain that kind of a life by pursuing Jesus, by being with Jesus? Secondly, a mark of Peter and John that helps us understand how they were filled with the Spirit, how the others who are witnessing their witness of Jesus and testimony of Jesus recognized that they had been with Jesus, was their boldness. It was the boldness in Peter and John that betrayed the fact that they were disciples of Jesus. Peter is standing before murderers, and yet he unabashedly speaks the truth and he holds nothing back, completely bold. And when you have a strong sense that Jesus is with you, there's a tremendous amount of boldness that comes along with that feeling. And you see this throughout the scriptures. Think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing up before King Nebuchadnezzar when they were told to bow down before his idol, refusing and recognizing in that moment that they had the boldness and the courage to speak out on something they believed was wrong. Think David before the giant Goliath, who's defying the armies of the living God, right? David's boldness in that moment came from being with Jesus, being filled with the Spirit. Think Moses before Pharaoh. Think Esther before King Xerxes. All of these heroes of the faith had this mark of boldness and courage in the moment when he was needed. And it's just true. Being around Jesus creates a boldness, creates a courage within us. I have some friends who bring out the boldness in me. One particular, my friend Matt and I were at a championship game for the Pac-10, as it was called back then, some 10 years ago, where the Washington Huskies had just won the Pac-10 title, and everybody was celebrating on the court. And we had our two boys, Josiah and Lachlan, at the time with us, and they were on our shoulders as we were celebrating the victory of the Huskies over, I think it was Washington State, actually, at the time. And it was so much commotion and so much excitement that Matt turned to me, and as the players were walking into the locker room, he's like, let's go. You know, completely bold move, right? Let's go into the locker room. And there were all these guards, and we kind of slipped by the first tier guards, and we're heading down the tunnel, and we're like, yes, we're going to make it in. And right before we got to the tunnel, there was this police officer that stopped us because, you know, well, we had two boys on our shoulders, and I think it was pretty obvious to him that we weren't with the team. But nevertheless, we made the bold attempt. There are certain people that bring that boldness out in you because they are bold. And Jesus was bold. We read that throughout the stories about Jesus. His boldness was rubbing off on Peter and John. When Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He's talking about that confidence and boldness that he experienced and felt in his own witness of Jesus. And it comes from the presence of Jesus residing within us. When you are with Jesus, boldness results. We went over these heroes of the faith from the scriptures. Think about Martin Luther King Jr. Think about William Wilberforce. Think about Mother Teresa. All these people had the marker of boldness because they had been with Jesus, and Jesus makes you bold. If you're lacking confidence, if you are living in fear, if you're stressed out and you're uncertain, there's a solution for that. It's called being with Jesus. And you might say, well, I've tried that, or I've been there, but the chances are that you've just been hanging around Jesus. You've just been associating with Jesus. So what does it mean for you to live like Jesus and to be with Jesus? Take it to another level. Really allow the Spirit of God to speak to you. Take the time to not just read the words of God, but to digest what he's saying. Allow God to speak to you in an intimate way, to guide you and direct you. Believe that that's possible, and allow his Spirit to minister to you day after day after day as you slowly become one who is transformed by Jesus through being with Jesus. Lastly, I'll say this, the marker on Peter and John that made it so obvious to the religious leaders that they had been with Jesus was their clarity of purpose. And perhaps Peter's boldness came from that clear sense of what he had been called to do. Because Jesus had called him and told him that he was to be Cephas, the rock on which he would build his church. And long before, you know, Dwayne Johnson took the moniker the Rock, Peter had claim to it. He was called to build the church by boldly proclaiming Jesus. Jesus predicted as much that he would do just that. And in fact, that's what we see him doing throughout the early chapters of Acts. Peter is preaching in Acts chapter 2. Excuse me. Peter's preaching in Acts chapter 3, preaching in Acts chapter 4. The guy won't shut up about Jesus. He's been called. He knows what he's to be about. He knows what he's supposed to be to do, and he's determined to get it done. He learned it from Jesus, who said, I do nothing besides that which the Father has called me to do. He had singleness of purpose, clarity, oneness of heart. And when Jesus is the number one thing in your life, you don't get sidetracked by anything else. You have a high sense of purpose in what it is that you're doing, what you are to be about. Now, before Peter had settled this issue in his heart, he fumbled with his words. He struggled to grasp situations as they were happening. Now things have come into focus for him. In the aftermath of Jesus' resurrection, things have become crystal clear for Peter. The Spirit of God has given him that clarity. He now knows what he is to be about. Now, I've noticed, we've been doing this Living Word Challenge. I've noticed in my own life the impact that that kind of a discipline can make in my life. It's incredible how beginning the day with a passage of scripture, asking God to speak to you through that, really thinking and pondering on what God might be desiring to say to you in that moment, writing that down, prayerfully kind of sealing what it is that God has said, the impact, excuse me, that can make on your life. And it really is true. It makes a profound impact on your life. Being with Jesus is like being connected to a wealth of information. Think, you know, connected to the internet. When I get this one principle right in my life, I'm often directed in all sorts of simple things. Who I needed to talk to, who I need to encourage, what it is that I need to be doing on any given moment or situation. And tragically, when I neglect being with Jesus, when I neglect doing things like the living word in my life, the opposite is true. All of a sudden, I'm missing opportunities. I'm not really certain of where I need to go or what I need to do. And so I've got all these, you know, spinning plates going on and no real idea of how I'm going to, you know, accomplish much of anything. I'm cloudy, muddy, and confused without it. I might be around Jesus, associated with Jesus, still going through the motions, but I'm not locked in. I'm not aware of what it is that he's called me to do in that moment. And there's nothing that brings peace to your heart and life. There's nothing that brings more confidence and clarity than having that knowledge, that understanding of what Jesus is directing and guiding you to do. So are you anchorless, floating around, drifting around in the sea? Are you fumbling around in the dark, wondering which way to go? There's a way forward for you. It's called being with Jesus. But being filled with the Spirit, having boldness and courage in those critical moments, having clarity and purpose in your life, first begins with this: following Jesus. Following Jesus. Peter's own origin story is a source of inspiration. Mark chapter 1, verse 16 through 18 tells the beginning of Peter's journey of being with Jesus. It says, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon, who's Peter, and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Which, of course, is exactly what we see Peter doing later on. At once, they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in the boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in a boat with the hired men and followed him. All the disciples, their origin story is dropping everything to follow Jesus. How amazing that the Peter and Andrew on the side of the shore doing their daily work, you know, casting their nets or fixing their nets to catch fish, when Jesus called them, they recognized the significance of that moment and they followed him in that instant. And the Gospel of John tells us that they had actually already met Jesus earlier. However, they must have been so enamored with him. They must have known how special Jesus really was to recognize how important it was that they heed his call to come and follow them. When Jesus asked them, they dropped everything. They made it an instantaneous decision. They left it all. They saw this opportunity to be with Jesus. And there's only one way to take the opportunity to be with Jesus. We must drop everything in our lives, everything that would shackle us, our hearts, our minds, our emotions, and follow Jesus. So a question for you: what do you need to let go of? What do you need to lay aside, to leave behind, in order to follow Jesus? The answer to this question is really what life is all about. In fact, this new year presents us with this wonderful opportunity. It's a restart. It's a reworking of things to get the right habits and rhythms in place in our lives. So let me challenge you to read the scriptures every day. Take this Living Word challenge with us. Read the scriptures every day. Take the time to journal through that, to carefully document the things that God says to you, and to pray through those things. Consider how you can lift up those around you, how God would direct you and steer you and guide you through life on the decisions that you need to make on a daily basis. Being filled with the Spirit and being the kind of people who give off that impression of being filled with the Spirit and being with Jesus to those around us, all of that comes through being with Jesus. So let's be with Jesus. Not around him, not in some way associated with him. Let's be with him. Let's pursue his presence each and every day and watch as the transformation in our lives takes place. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity you've given each and every one of us to follow you, and the invitation that you give each and every one of us to be with you on a daily basis. We have access. You have given us access through your grace offered to each and every one of us, and so we receive that today. And we just say, God, we want to be with you. We want to be with you. Jesus, we want you to be the loudest voice in our life. We want you to speak. And I just pray that each and every one of us would take seriously the opportunity that we have to hear from you and to be transformed by the power of your Spirit through that process. We thank you for this time this morning where we could be informed about these things, reminded and inspired in these things. And I pray that we would take them to heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. I want to thank you for being here with us this morning as we explore this vital topic. I want to invite you to continue with us as we start a new sermon series next week. I'm really excited to talk to you about some of the epic stories in the Bible, and we're going to start a series several weeks talking about some of those amazing stories through the scriptures, tales that most likely you've heard before, but providing some new inspiration on some of those amazing stories in the scriptures. And so that's where we're going to go next week. I want to continue to remind you to be faithful in your giving to the church. I want to thank you for your generosity. All of your gifts make this ministry possible. It makes it possible for me to do this as my job, and to study the scriptures and to lead our church. And I want to thank you for your generosity in making this possible. You can make your gifts at westsidechurch.com/give, also on the church app as well, or of course in person at Westside Church. Well, God bless everyone. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.